Hello everyone, it's John Leeming here with my March edition of The Organist Encores. I thought that I'd do something a little different today, and as the signature tune fades away, we're going to move over to sounds that come out of loudspeakers rather than pipes. Though we shall be hearing some sample pipe organ sounds processed electronically. Well, I suppose the first electronic musical instrument was the theremin back in the 1920s. You play the theremin simply by waving your arms at it, but when it comes to keyboard instruments, Leslie Bourne of Compton had been experimenting with a magnetic tone wheel system in the early 1930s. He shifted his research to electrostatic tone generation for the mellotone, but Lawrence Hammond in the USA picked up Leslie Bourne's ideas and produced the first commercially viable electronic organ in 1935. The musical tones are created by means of rotating toothed wheels to induce electric currents in magnet coils. These currents are then shaped, mixed and amplified using electronics, and even today the Hammond organ is regarded as the gold standard for electronic organs by many aficionados. So we'll hear from a few Hammonds in the programme. Now, after the war, experiments with multi-tracked recordings became all the rage. The organist's two hands and two feet could be multiplied many times by adding layer upon layer of different tone colours and effects. No one developed this to a finer art, I think, than Klaus Wunderlich, and here he is with his own composition, Five Sons. Klaus Wunderlich, multi-tracking away there on Hammond H100 in the late 1960s. I think that track demonstrates almost everything there is to know about what Klaus could do with a Hammond organ. Well, moving into the 21st century, the Hammond organ is still very much alive, and here's my good colleague Nigel Ogden, again on H100, this time with a Leslie speaker and Portrait of a Flirt. ¶¶ Portrait of a Flirt from the fingers and feet of Nigel Ogden and from the pen of Robert Farnon, a great composer of evocative light music for many decades. Talking of light music, we go to Portugal now and to the home and the keyboards of Stephen Vincent. Steve was winner of the Young Theatre Organist of the Year competition in London in 1980, and he spends a lot of his time now creating imaginative arrangements for his combination of sampled theatre organ and orchestral sounds using his Yamaha EL90. He publishes his creations on YouTube with equally imaginative images and graphics. And we're going to hear one of his most recent, a delightful piece of 1950s style light music. Now, Steve asked his YouTube followers to try to guess the composer. If you don't already know, I wonder if you can work it out. Here it is, Champs-Élysées.
Thank you.
Champs-Élysées, a piece of light music evocative of Paris, interpreted there by Stephen Vincent on Yamaha EL90 with theatre organ pipe samples from the Paramount sets. Well, the composer is not from the 1950s, but very much of today. That piece was written by none other than Stephen Austin, respected organist and keyboard teacher from Poulton-le-Fylde, near Blackpool. Thank you to both Stephens. I'm sure there will be many more on the way. Sample sounds are actual recordings of real instruments, or indeed real organ pipes. They're actually stored digitally in microchips and played back under the control of the performer, and of course a lot of electronic wizardry as well. We tend to think of this as being a fairly modern feature of the keyboard world, but no, not at all. Sample sounds were used in a keyboard instrument back in the 1960s in the form of the mellotron. Not mellotone, but mellotron. This used magnetic tape loops to store the sound samples, but it was very much the same idea. And before that, in the 1950s, there was the multicolour-tone electronic instrument. I'm not sure to what extent it used samples, but the BBC was keen on the idea as a convenient means of creating all sorts of sounds and effects for their radiophonic workshop. And in 1959, they demonstrated one of these instruments to an audience in the Royal Festival Hall, no less, in London. William Davis was chosen to demonstrate how much like a real organ it could sound, but he then proceeded to make some really bizarre and awful, if not awesome, sounds. Fortunately, they'd had the foresight to engage an orchestra to draw attention away from some of the worst excesses. But, to make it even worse, the BBC Compare's commentary was badly researched, as you'll hear now.
In the early 1930s, a new organ sound was born in the United States of America, and soon cinemas throughout the world were following suit, and between films, audiences were entertained like this. For many people, however, a little of that went quite a long way, and interest generally declined. But then in the 40s came the perfection of the electronic organ and the enormous popularity of that very fine instrumentalist, Ethel Smith.
I think that's enough of that. It gets worse later. I'm sure you don't want to hear more, do you? No, you don't. Anyway, coming back to reality, the Allen Organ Company was probably the first to introduce digital pipe organ sounds to a theatre-style pipeless organ. And here's George Wright at one of Allen's GW4-styled organs. That's a four manual based on George Wright's own pipe organ in Hollywood. This was actually recorded 6 years after George's death using digital encodings previously captured from the relays of his home organ. Well, after William Davis's very individual version we've just heard, what better piece to choose than Tico Tico? George Wright's posthumous performance on Allen GW4 there. It's perhaps not the finest recording of a GW4 I've ever heard, but it was good to hear George come to life again with some new material. Back to Hammonds now, and here's someone we don't normally associate with electronic organs, Stanley Wiley from the Ritz Belfast, here on a Hammond C3. Thank you. Pick Yourself Up from Stanley Wiley on Hammond back in the 1980s. Now, those of you who are members of the Cinema Organ Society will have been reading David Lowe's articles about the supreme reign of Hammond organs in ice rinks. And here is David at the last ice rink Hammond ever to be installed in the Lee Valley Ice Centre in Leighton, London, in 1984, with perhaps a little help from a Korg synthesizer and a rhythm unit. David Lowe there with Root Beer Rag on the Lee Valley Hammond. A prolific ice rink organist in the 1970s and 80s was Eddie Ruier. Here's Eddie, not on an ice rink organ this time, but on a Conn electronic. The origin of this recording seems unclear. I actually found it on a big reel of tape in a corner of my loft, would you believe? I've no idea how it came into my possession, and Eddie himself doesn't recall who recorded it or where. Anyway, it's labelled Eddie Ruier 1973, and there's no mistaking Eddie's sparkling style. Thank you. Butterflies in the Rain, stylish playing from Eddie Ruyer on Con at an unknown location in 1973. Well, it's time for the last track now, which is from an organist who first introduced me to the world of multi-tracking. It's Hamburg radio organist Gerhard Gregor on what he calls a strato organ, which is really nothing more than a multi-tracked Hammond. Listen to the clever way he sets different playback speeds and different reverb settings against each other to create this clever arrangement of O Marie. Marie, Gerhard Gregor on his so-called strato organ in 1956. Well, it's time for me to go now, and I hope you enjoyed my delve into electronics this month. Damon will be in the presenter's chair again next week with a programme he's called Spring Fever, heralding the joys of spring to come. We hope. And I'll be here in another month with a theatre organ miscellany. In the meantime, keep an eye on the Organist Encore's website and Facebook page for the latest updates. From me, John Leeming, it's now back to pipes again for our usual closing theme from Robert Wolf at Thursford. Bye!